We're almost finished with the book of Hebrews. This week we're in chapter 12. Next week we will finish the book of Hebrews. This morning we'd like you to look with us at chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Tonight we'll be studying the 12th chapter. But this morning we'd like to look at the first couple of verses in which we are told, seeing that we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Paul the Apostle, in his writings, often likened the Christian life to running a race. To the Corinthians, Paul wrote, "They which run in a race run all, but only one receives the prize. So run that you might obtain." In other words, Paul is encouraging you to run to win. Though there are a lot of people that start out in the race, only one is going to win. Only one is going to receive the prize. So run that you might obtain. In other words, put everything into it. To the Galatians, Paul wrote, "You did run well." That is, you had a good start. "But what did hinder you?" he asked. Things that hinder us from winning the race. To the Philippians, Paul wrote concerning himself that his desire was that he had not run in vain. And then later he said, "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus." And so we see him as a runner that is in the final lap, and he's got that final kick as he's pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. At the end of his life, he wrote to Timothy and he said, "I have finished my course and I have kept the faith." Come to the end of the race. But he said, "Now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord our righteous judge shall give to me, and not to me only, but to all those that love his appearing." He made mention of how that when men were training for the Olympics, how they were so disciplined, how they actually sacrificed and disciplined their bodies in order that they might gain, he said, a corruptible crown. In those days, they did not give gold, silver, and bronze medals to the Olympians when they won, but they gave them just these laurel wreaths that would dry up and fade so quickly. And he said, if they will work so hard and train and discipline themselves for a corruptible crown, how much more should we be disciplined as we're seeking an incorruptible crown? When Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, he did not know what the future held. All he knew is that he was warned by the Holy Spirit that when he got to Jerusalem, there would be bonds and imprisonment. "You will be bound, Paul, and put in prison." And so Paul said concerning that, "None of these things move me. And neither do I count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my race with joy. Not worried about the obstacles that lie ahead. My only concern is that I finish the race with joy. And he's talking about the joy of winning, the joy of the crown of righteousness that he was to receive. The writer to the Hebrews, which I feel was probably Paul, had, I believe, in chapter 12 here, in the background of his mind, the great Olympic races that were run in those days. How the stadium would be jammed with people as they would watch the various contestants in the different athletic events. And so, with that backdrop of the Olympic, he said, "Wherefore, seeing we are surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses." And he is no doubt referring to the 11th chapter when he speaks of the witnesses that these men of faith in times past have been. He's not talking about the spectators, and he's not saying that they are watching us. But he is saying that these men have run the race and they have won. These men stood true. These men endured. And they have won the race. And they are then to us a great cloud of witnesses. The witness of their victory. And seeing that we are surrounded by them, let us run the race with patience. We see the glories of the triumphs of the men of faith in chapter 11. We see the factors that brought them victory. And we see the obstacles that they overcame in order to win. And so we are encouraged to lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, that we might run this race. In the Olympics, in the early days, they would strip down to the bare necessities because they wanted nothing to hinder their winning the race. No weights. Oftentimes they would train with weights. They would train with weights tied to their bodies, but then come the Olympics and the race to be run, all of the weights would be shed and they would strip down in order that they might win that race. Today, the runners get the lightest shoes possible. And they even have now designed fabrics that have the least amount of wind resistance. I mean, they've really taken it down to a science of having fabrics that are least wind resistance because they don't want anything to hold them back or to slow them down. The one goal is to win the race, to come in first, and thus laying aside every weight. In this Christian race, as I am running this race of life as a Christian, my desire is to win. Now, there are things, there are weights that can hold me back. There are things that can slow me down, hinder me from winning the race. And in the New Testament, we have several different lists of things that are weights that can hinder you from winning. Romans 13:11, Paul said, "Knowing the time, it's high time that we awake out of our sleep, because now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, he said, as in the day. And now the things that are weights and can be a weight to slow you down in the race. Not in rioting or drunkenness, in partying or wantonness, not in strife or in envying. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Because these can be weights that can hinder you from running the race successfully. To the Corinthians, Paul wrote, don't you realize that the unrighteous are not going to inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. These are things that will actually disqualify you from the race. You won't even finish the race. These are the things that disqualify, weights that can disqualify you from even finishing the race. Writing to the Colossians, Paul said, put to death, therefore, those desires of your body, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God is going to come upon the children of disobedience, in which you also at one time walked when you lived in them. But now, put off these also: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Now, these are sins, the first listing, that disqualify, and the second, which slow you down. We don't want any extra baggage. We don't want any extra weight. We're in this race to win. And thus we cannot allow ourselves to be caught up in the things of the flesh that are a hindrance to our spiritual walk. Anger, wrath, malice, envy. These things can just hinder you. Unforgiveness, those things hinder you. The Bible encourages us to love, to be kind one to another, to be sensitive, tender-hearted, to forgive one another. And so the warning against those things that hinder you in running the Christian race. And then we're exhorted to run with patience the race that is set before us. The Christian race is not really a dash, 100 or 220 dash. The Christian race is more like a cross-country race, a marathon with many obstacles in the path. You see, there are a lot of people that start off with a great burst of speed, and as you watch them as they begin, you think, oh man, they're surely going to win the race. But in time, as they reach some of the obstacles, some of them even fall out of the race. As Paul said, you did start well. What hindered you? And the obstacles that came along hindered them from even finishing the race many times. Jesus said that a sower went forth to sow seed, and it fell on various types of soil, and some of it fell on stony ground. And he said, that which fell on the stony ground sprung up very quickly because there was no depth of earth. It soon died. Over in Israel, you see these great flat rocks of stone, and in them are little crevices and little holes in which are filled with a shallow soil, maybe an inch, 2 inches thick. In the springtime, these little crevices and places in the rocks where the soil is so shallow, they're the first to green out. They're the first to have little wildflowers in them. But they last such a short time because there's no depth of earth. And thus, the moment the sun comes out and begins to beat on these little areas, the plant life that is there dies out. It turns brown. And Jesus said, so is the seed that falls on the stony ground. There are people who start off well, quickly. They're quick out of the blocks. But as soon as a little persecution arises for the sake of Christ, they sort of fall aside. The Christian race, more like the marathon, more like the cross country, we face obstacles, but we run with patience. We learn to pace ourselves and run with patience the race that is set before us. Paul wrote to the church in Rome and said, to them who are patient and continue in well-doing, and they seek for glory and honor and immortality, when they stand before the judge, they will receive the prize of eternal life. Earlier in the book of Hebrews, we read, not to be slothful, but be followers of those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. That is, they won the race and they received the prize. In the 10th chapter of Hebrews, we read, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might obtain the promise. And so run with patience the race that is set before us. Jesus, writing to the church of Ephesus, commended it. He said, because you have borne and you have been patient. And for my sake, he said, you've labored and you did not faint. They endured. And we must endure until we reach our goal. There are many who have dropped out of the race, weighted down by sin. In Hebrews 10:38, we read, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, drops out, the Lord said, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Jesus said to his disciples, you will be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. And Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, no man having put his hand to the plow, turning back, is worthy of the kingdom of God. In John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Don't drop out. Paul, writing concerning Demas, said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world. Writing to the Colossians, Paul said, and you, who were at one time alienated and enemies in your minds by your wicked works, God is now reconciled to himself in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard. The idea and the goal is to win the race, victory. And Jesus is our prime example, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, though he despised the shame. We see how that Jesus, in those times when he was facing the obstacles, looked beyond the problem. He looked beyond the hardship. He looked beyond the pain. He looked beyond the suffering to the joy that was promised, that was set before him. In our lives, living for Jesus Christ in a world that is anti-Christ, we're going to experience persecution. We're going to experience hardships. But we must look beyond the obstacles to the goal, to the prize, even as Jesus did, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. The race is not easy at times. Many obstacles. And we oftentimes become weary. We become tired. And there is even at times a temptation to drop out of the race, people thinking it just isn't worth it. But that's when you lose sight of the goal. When you remember again the goal, then it all becomes worthwhile. To one day stand before the judge's seat, having finished the race, I stand before my Lord, there at the judgment seat of Christ, and I hear his words of commendation, "Well done. You've been a good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And to realize that that joy is eternal. It's never ending. It's world without end. For the kingdom of God is righteousness. It is peace and it is joy. And I enter into that eternal kingdom of God and the joy of that kingdom. Then with Paul, you'll realize that the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed, the eternal glory. For our light affliction, which is only for a moment, works an exceeding eternal weight of glory. And so, how important that we keep our eyes upon the goal, looking unto Jesus, keeping our eyes focused on him. It's so easy to become distracted, the things of the world, to take our attention away from him. And once we're distracted, it's so easy to become tripped up. Important that we keep our eyes steadfast upon the goal, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul said, "I'm pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, in running, there is a very interesting phenomena that takes place. And it is called the second wind. As you're running, you get so weary and so tired, you often think, "I can't take another step. I can't lift my leg up to set it down anymore." Your sides are aching as your lungs are fighting for oxygen, for air. and you going through pain. But the fascinating thing about the body, and we don't quite understand just how it does function, but if you will push through that weariness, that tiredness, if you'll push through that pain, you will often receive what is commonly called the second wind. And once you get that second wind, it seems like you can just run forever. I mean, it just, all of a sudden, it's just become easy, and you just feel like you can just keep going. And some of you, at that place of weariness and tiredness, you feel you can't go on any further, but we need to press through. Because it's amazing how that so often we get discouraged. We think, well, I'm going to drop out. I don't think I can go on. But if you will press through, you'll find the strength of the Holy Spirit come upon you. And the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. And it seems like now we can just go forever under the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul spoke of how the fact that he oftentimes was weary. But he knew that the reward was worth the effort. And so he pressed on for the prize. If we could see beyond today as God can see, then all of our tears we would wipe away and our sorrows would flee. Over these present griefs we would not fret, and each sorrow we would soon forget. For there are so many joys that are waiting yet for you and for me. If we could see, if we could know, we often say, but God in his love a veil does throw across our way. We cannot see what lies before. And the purpose is that we might cling to him the more, because he'll lead us until our life is o'er. Just trust and obey. Keep your eyes fixed upon the Lord. Run with patience the race that is set before us. And one day we too, with Paul, will stand before the judge and we will receive the crown of righteousness which the Lord, our righteous judge, shall give. Paul said, not only to me, but to all of those who do love his appearing. Take heart. The race is almost over. Let's give it our best. Father, we thank you that you've called us to run the race. And Lord, it is our desire to win, to give it our best. And Lord, how can we do less than give you our best and live for you completely after all you've done for us? And so, Lord, may we make that commitment. May we purpose in our hearts to win the race. And may we thus do those things that are necessary to win. May we lay aside every weight, sin, which so easily trips us up. And let's, Lord, overcome the obstacles through faith. And may we run to win as we keep our eyes focused on you. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand? There are some of you today that perhaps have become a little weary. The scripture tells us, don't be weary in well-doing. In due season, we will reap if we faint not. And so I would encourage you, if you're facing some obstacles and you just find that you don't quite have the strength, the stamina, the will to go on, I would encourage you, go back to the prayer room. The pastors will be back there to pray with you, to help you. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And to help you bear that burden, to help you overcome that obstacle, to pray for you and to receive the encouragement of the word, that you'd not drop out of the race, but that we run to win. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord strengthen you. And may this be a special week in your life of experiencing the help and the strength of God to run the race that's set before us.